Today is the first Sunday after Easter. It is also known as Low Sunday. And the epistle is taken from St. John's first epistle, chapter 5. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were gathered together, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side. And be not incredulous, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in the Gospel which we read for the Mass today, we see the events which took place on the evening of that first Easter Sunday. The apostles and the disciples of our Lord were hiding in the upper room where the Last Supper had taken place. They were all afraid. They were afraid on account of the Jews who had put their master to death. And thus they kept the doors locked to keep them out. But St. John tells us in his Gospel that Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. By the power of his glorified, risen body, our divine Savior passed through those locked doors and he appeared to his apostles. He revealed to them that he had truly risen from the dead. And when our Lord had appeared this time, Thomas was not with them. But when Thomas found out from them about the visit of our Lord, he wouldn't believe. He wouldn't believe that our Lord had truly risen from the dead. And thus he doubted the divinity of Christ. And so much so that Thomas even put a bold condition on this. Thomas said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And so a week later, on the following Sunday, our Lord again appeared to his apostles. And this time, Thomas was present. And the very first person our Savior approached was the one who refused to believe in him. He drew closer to Thomas and he said to him, "Bring hither thy finger and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Our Lord and Savior complied with the requirements Thomas had made. He, the Son of God made man, submitted himself and met with the terms and conditions of his creature. In so many words, our Lord was saying, "Whatever it takes, Thomas, whatever it takes for you to believe, I will do. All I ask in return is that you place your faith and trust in me." And so, overwhelmed by our divine Savior's gentleness and mercy, Thomas fell to his knees in adoration and declared the divinity of Christ. He declared and said, "My Lord and my God." And after Thomas was converted, our Savior gently rebuked him for his incredulity. He said, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." These last words of our Savior were words of consolation and encouragement for the future members of his church. Now, my dear friends, today's gospel teaches us how important the virtue of faith truly is. Thomas the Apostle was blind to the fact that our Lord rose from the dead, even after the other apostles had told him about it. Thomas had refused to receive the grace of faith. In other words, Thomas had rejected the grace to believe, and thus he doubted the divinity of Christ. Now, according to the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas, faith, he says, is a gift from God. It is a divine virtue by which we firmly believe all the truths which God has revealed. The virtue of faith enables us to believe in God and to be convinced that he is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-merciful. And faith also gives us the power to firmly believe in the divinity of Christ and that he is truly, really, and substantially present in the Blessed Sacrament. Those who do not have the faith, they do not firmly believe this. You can explain the articles of the faith to unbelievers in many different ways. And they may even tell you that these things seem reasonable. But if they do not yet have the gift of faith from God, They cannot believe these things. This is easier to understand when someone loses the faith. Someone who has lost the faith cannot receive it back by his own power. Truly scary thing. He can only implore God to give it back and dispose himself to receive it. But of himself, that person cannot merit this great gift from Almighty God. God must infuse faith into his soul. And thus truly, faith is a gift. It is a gift from God. Now, my dear friends, those who have been given this special gift, you and me, we must do everything possible to keep it. Otherwise, if God forbid we lose it, we would live in complete darkness and total unrest. And how difficult it would be to regain one's faith once it has been lost. Thus, we must appreciate the faith which has been given to us. We must be grateful to Almighty God for giving us this great, immense treasure. We should get down on our knees every day and thank Him for preserving us in the one true faith, especially in the times in which we live, where the light of faith has gone out in tens of millions of souls. And so no matter what difficulties we face, whether in the present circumstances or any struggles we may face in the future, let us hold fast to the gift of this one true faith. A holy priest once wrote, "We should see all the events of our lives, whether agreeable or painful, we should see all the events of our lives in the light of faith, in order to live truly," he says, "by the spirit of faith." In other words, when things become difficult, or when crosses seem too heavy to bear, we must look to our faith to strengthen us. I remember just a few years ago, I was speaking to a man from one of our chapels who had a terrible disease that impairs the nervous system. He had a form of what they call Lou Gehrig's disease. And sadly, he passed away last year because of this disease. But he was on the younger side of life. And before this disease, he used to be very active and was always into sports and exercise. But this illness completely changed his way of life. He had a hard time walking, and neither could he sit for any length of time. He also had a hard time swallowing, and his speech was almost unintelligible. When you would speak with him, it would sound similar to a deaf man who would try to speak. But months before he found out that he had this disease, he was completely fine. But it seemed like almost overnight that he was barely walking. The disease had, in essence, completely debilitated him. But before he passed away, one time I had the chance to bring him Holy Communion. And after some Thanksgiving prayers, we got to talking about how he was doing. And I remember he still had his full wits about him. He explained to me that he would get down and discouraged sometimes. But what kept him going was his prayers every day. Especially Our Lady's Rosary, he said. He said he entrusted himself to our Lord and our Lady. I can still remember our conversation and how edified I was by it. In his broken phrases, he said that God knows what he's doing. He said he's just here for the ride. And in the midst of our talking, he said something to the effect that where would we be without our faith? And what he meant by that was that if he didn't have his Catholic faith, he wouldn't know how to handle that disease. And then he went further and made a comment that really astounded me. He started talking about his brother and how he was such a tremendous help to him. And the people around him, his family, his neighbors, and even the people at his work who didn't even know him. They had gone out of their way to help him with certain things as he was physically unable to do them. He was so touched by their kindness. And then he said with his stuttered speech, he said, "Who has it better than me?" This poor man, who basically had lost his ability to speak, his ability to eat regular foods, who had a tough time just walking across his kitchen floor, he was saying how blessed he truly was. And it was because of his faith that he had that disposition. What an example for us. What a great example for us when we are weighed down with the crosses in this life. How much our faith can sustain us and support us. We can see that he truly understood the value of the gift of faith, and he accepted whatever God willed because he saw his life through the eyes of faith. And so let us imitate this gratitude and confidence in God. Let us appreciate the gift of our Catholic faith. Let us appreciate it and never take it for granted. For even among traditional Catholics, many have fallen away because they didn't appreciate what they had been given. And so let us show our gratitude to Almighty God by imploring our Divine Savior and His Holy Mother to help us persevere in the one true faith. Let us live our lives through the eyes of faith, striving to keep our souls in the state of grace. See each circumstance in your lives as coming from the gentle hands of God. And let us pray then that we may never lose this true gift from God, but let us regard our faith as our greatest treasure. Because as St. Augustine says, there are no greater riches, nor treasures, no substance of this world greater, he says, than our Catholic faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.